If at Versailles water spouts, gushes, cascades, and stretches out like a mirror, it is due to an incredibly high-tech system of hydraulics. Designed under Louis XIV, it is able to stock, transport, and regulate water. Originally, though, the site was hardly a favorable one. The ground was marshy and in need of draining. Water sources were far away, and the chateau was built higher than any surrounding water. A system based on gravity was thus out of the question. To solve the problem, Louis XIV brought in the best engineers from all over Europe to establish a hydraulics laboratory, the likes of which have never been seen again. Several projects, though, bordered on madness, such as that of the engineer Riquet, who would have changed the course of the River Loire had the astronomer Picard not intervened, or that of Louvois, who planned to bring water from the River Eure, some 120 kilometers away. 22,000 men slaved over the task, and millions of pounds were spent, only for war to put an end to the work, leaving nothing but an unfinished aqueduct. Finally, the gargantuan pump at Marly, with its 14 enormous paddle wheels, was chosen to bring water from the Seine to Versailles. In fact, it brought relatively little water, having already fed the fountains at the Château de Marly. Most water was in fact provided by spill-off from the plateau above Versailles. A vast network of artificial ponds, underground and overground aqueducts, pumps, and water mills was built to catch water and raise it to Montboron reservoirs at the highest point in Versailles. Some of these ponds still supply the gardens, and the reservoirs still function today, containing up to 70,000 cubic meters of water. The gardens and park being lower down and on sloping ground means water can be distributed by gravity. Due to its weight and pressure in the pipes, water descends and fills the reservoirs at the bottom of the garden, the main ones of which are near to the Neptune Basin. It then continues, gradually feeding the other fountains, before finishing up in the Pièce d'eau des Suisses, or the Grand Canal. If Trianon is a garden of flowers, then Versailles, apart from its parterres, is a garden of trees. The bushes, pruned into the most eccentric shapes, are examples of greenery at its finest. For the large trees, Louis XIV had elms, limes, chestnuts, and oaks taken from the royal forests and replanted along the alleys of his park. The king also had a collection of exotic trees, including 3,000 orange, pomegranate, lemon, and mandarin trees, all of which were moved for the winter into the orangerie, or hothouse. Built by Jules Ardoin Mansart, below the Parterre du Midi, the orangerie was designed to conserve the ideal temperature, and still today it houses over 1,000 trees.
In late 1999, a devastating storm hit France, felling 10,000 trees in the grounds, some of which were historic or very rare. However, the catastrophe has actually returned the grounds to their original look. If on leaving the chateau, as Louis XIV suggests in his book, How to Show the Gardens, you stand on the terrace to admire the view, since many of the large trees disappeared in the storm, you can rediscover the vistas as intended by Le Nôtre. Because the trees that either resisted or have been replanted are young, the view is very close to that which the Sun King would have known. We should also bear in mind that a park should be replanted every 100 years.